Fred. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Walt Dick, well, yeah.
Well, that's why they call me Cudsy.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
My name is Mark Cibelli.
This ain't Drunken Recap, bitch.
I love birds.
Sort of was a Drunken Recap.
Pretty much, yeah.
Judging by his demeanor.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch of Rich radio program. Big show on the way today. And if you were looking at the computer, Rich and his wife Mary, all over national news.
Yeah, that was cool. That was something that I didn't know what was going to happen there, but all of a sudden, after the show, my wife started getting calls from all these different people because of the, you know, what happened with the marathon and her finishing it at like 12:18 in the morning on Tuesday morning. And all of a sudden, her phone started ringing, and she did interviews yesterday with like CNN and a bunch of other different people. And finally, around like 12:30, you know, she was kind of tired, and she was just like, I can't really do any more of these. I'm going to have to take a little bit of a break. But it was kind of funny. Like, she was getting emails from all over. There was one guy from the Associated Press who wanted Mary to fill out, like, this giant form that would give them the rights to all of these different pictures that were on her face. And Mary's just like, I can't.
No, thanks.
I can't do it.
Jeez.
But like, she was great. Like, all throughout the day, she was saying yes to all of these different people and doing all these different interviews. And you know who's really behind all of this is Dan Roach. Dan Roach is like the main reason
does
all of this
surprise,
took off.
Does that surprise you at
no,
all?
No, not in the least. Like, Dan Roach, he was the guy who kind of got the ball rolling at the finish line, and because Dan started tweeting on it, WBZ did, I think that's how all the other stations got down there. And because all these other stations have national affiliates, they all started to run it, and then that got like CNN picking up on it. And I believe this morning I just got a text from, I guess, that Mary finishing the marathon is the SportsCenter top play of the morning.
Wow.
Which is pretty awesome. And then so yesterday Dan texts me around 4:30 and says the CBS Evening News wants to do something on it. And they did something around 6:30 last night. And then we're getting all these weird emails. Like, there's a guy in England who did but it all comes from Dan. Like, this whole thing, and the reason that it blew up was because Dan Roach was the first one to report on it, and I believe other people saw, or Dan Roach and WBZ, I gotta give them credit as well, and then people kind of saw what they were reporting on, and it just kind of blew up from there. But it is strange how all of a sudden just one person writes about it, and then it goes and it just becomes this big thing. And you can see how news stories kind of catch a life of their own. But yeah, all day yesterday, Mary was, for the most part, except she had to take a little break in the afternoon, was just answering emails and doing phone interviews. It's kind of awesome. And since then, she's even raised more money. I think she's almost close to $40,000 now towards Dana-Farber. So you can still donate, by the way, if you want to. I mean, that's like one thing that out of all of this, you know, this is nice and it's cool and it made Mary feel nice. But in the end, if it raises more money for Dana-Farber, then that's the main thing that we would like. So if you would like to donate, you can go to our Twitter account at Toucher and Rich and donate to Dana-Farber that way.
Dan, go ahead.
Rich, I'm disappointed.
Oh, yeah?
No Wallach head at the finish line. No rock and roll mic. I mean, come on. This is national news. We could have had a lot of fun with this.
It wasn't thought through correctly.
I am completely ashamed that we weren't.
What's the matter? You were too worried about your wife's health?
You know what? That you're right. That is something I should have called Bert or Nick and said, you know, just trail us, but just take the giant Wallach head the entire way. Hey, can you run 11 miles with us tonight?
No, just at the finish line. Yeah. I mean, there was not a lot of footage of you guys just running down the street.
Well, I didn't know, honestly, that those people were going to be there at the finish line. I had no idea, but I should have thought ahead just in case. And gotten, you know, that big old beautiful gap-tooth head right down there, just waiting for everyone at the finish line.
It should have been the first thing that you thought about.
I know, and I was not putting the show first, and that I should have done.
Yeah, we're marketing correctly. But yes, that was all over the place yesterday.
Yeah, that was weird. Like I got an email from, like, The Guardian, like, these UK papers and stuff that had that in there, and which was odd, so yeah. It was weird because the CVS one, I kind of felt bad because it said first and last on it, and it had to the left the winner of the marathon, and to the right it had a picture of Mary, and it goes, yesterday the so and so won the Boston Marathon, but who finished last might have been an even more inspiring story. So I turned to Mary at the end of it. I was like, they literally mentioned the winner. Someone who had been training over and over for, like, the longest time for, like, 15 seconds, and then they did a three-minute segment on you. I was like, that's a little strange. And she's like, well, as long as it raises money. So there you go. It was a cool day for Mary. It meant a lot. But as long as it raises money, then that's what makes it worth it.
Yep. But so you can look at CNN and all these things, and that was up there yesterday, so... good for Mary that happened. Last night, you had the Boston Celtics in a bit of a runaway win.
Oh, but it's getting fun. It's getting fun because there's, like, feelings being hurt. You're seeing a team cracking under pressure and starting to run their mouth to the press. We have some great quotes from the Milwaukee Bucks locker room. Like, not only has, like, the games themselves been interesting, but what they're saying afterwards is making it a little bit personal, which I like.
That is the biggest story of the night, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah, I liked it. I like it. I mean,
it's a great story, but it's not the biggest story of the night. The biggest story of the night, Fred Tucher returns to Twitter. That is the big story of the evening, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. It shocked the hell out of me. I wasn't ready for it. I was completely blindsided, but there you were.
There was misinformation being thrown about. And then I start thinking about social media and the way that maybe money might go out of my pocket based on non-truths. And I had to respond.
Yeah,
I am off.
Listen, it was
a one-shot deal. It's just engagement.
I don't know my password. I swear to God, I don't know my password.
So how'd you get on?
My wife knows my password.
Oh, okay, so she gave it to you and you got on.
No. She put it in and then I went and erased any memory of the password. In fact, she redid it. I don't want the password.
You just want to get out right. And you're right. You're right, too. So, I mean, yeah, what had happened yesterday was that, and this is probably the only time I mentioned it, but the ratings came out, and thank you. We were number one. Men 25-54, 18-30.
We're getting a number one bonus for 25-54. We were number one. That's it. I mean, and I never mentioned the ratings. But I got emails, and then I looked at Twitter, and I'm like, well, people are claiming to be number one.
Yeah, WEI is claiming that they're number one, and it's just, it's not true. It's not only is it not true, it's to the fact that they're patting themselves in the back, and I'm like, literally, just look at the numbers, you know, and the cool thing is that, like, Chad Finn's got them, and so what they're trying to do is they were trying to add a second signal, like, from a different market into their numbers. So, like, they tried to get Providence and Boston together. Because they lost, they started panicking and started spinning this thing out of control. And we're like, the only reason that we even care is that because, as Fred mentioned on Twitter last night, he's right, there's advertisers who, you know, it's kind of nice to advertise for a number one show. That's great. And you don't want that misinformation out there. And boy, did that station panic yesterday. They went all in. All we did was just tweet out, here's the ratings. And all of a sudden, like, everyone was like a full-on assault. And it was kind of fun to see Fred go back out there and tweet. He was like, just listen.
I freely admit I enjoyed the hell out of it.
It was nice. Fred's like, listen, we're getting a bonus. We're number one. Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't... I'm getting a bonus for being number one with men 25 to 54. Right, I'm getting that bonus.
Because we won.
Yes,
and
I'm not
and
making it up. I swear on my children's lives that I'm getting a bonus for men 25 to 54, and it's not grandfathered in, and there's nothing except that we won. And I wouldn't have said a word, and I've had to text Hardy and go, look, I apologize that I'm doing this, but I got to do it. Because Hardy, I just said, listen, I know. I don't do this often.
Why did you text Hardy?
Yeah. Because Hardy, I always told him, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. But it was just enough. It was enough. And then so I said, I put it out there. I said, I don't know why it's so difficult to admit it. I don't know why. If no one said anything, I would have been perfectly fine. I would have, if no one said anything, or if a couple of people said something, I would have been fine. But the patting on the back and the running around, it's not me that's doing it. It's them that are doing it. And it's not true.
It's also not even like a big deal. It's one of those things that, and Fred said it before, you listen to what you listen to. But one thing we'll never lie about is the ratings. And we never have. And you can go back and check our Twitter timelines and all that stuff. Because, I mean, what's it worth? Because the minute you get busted lying about it, no one's going to believe you about anything. So it's just, you know, Fred's right. You know, the numbers are out there. Chad's got them. And they freaked out across the street and just started, like, spinning all this crazy stuff. And they like, apparently someone at the station, from what I heard, was calling the Globe and begging them to include a second signal in order to make it look like they had higher ratings than they did. And it's just... It got Fred just, listen, in the end, we won, we're getting a bonus, I don't know what's going on over there, that's their own issue, but thank you. Thank you once again for doing that, and once every 3 months, we tweet something out about
it. When they eventually this year try to hire us away from there, my first demand will be that their program director's fired. Because he's a keg fire that I don't want to deal with. So that's the first thing. And then he can go ask his superiors if that's going to happen. Because it is. Not that I'll take the job, but they'll ask. All right, so we'll be back. We'll talk all about the Celtic stuff. Here's the CBS Sports Minute, and that's a fact, too. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Stone & Bank. Boomer recaps the Indians 6-1 win. Okay.
It was magical. Yeah.
Over the Twins in Puerto Rico.
It's T&R. T&R on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Tutcher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
Recapping what you missed with Tutcher and Rich.
Five Sports Hub, Tutcher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, it's looking less and less like Wallach is going to be calling a game seven.
Giannis tried to jump the passing lane, but it got safe for the Horford. He returns to Rozier, switches to the right hand, kick out Jaylen Brown. A good night three, and he banks it in.
Off the window to the wall.
And Jaylen Brown all smiles because he knows he got away with that one.
I think he kind of butchered the line from Get Low there. I think that's what he's trying to do. The little John, the window to the wall. Am I the only one who picked up on that?
Okay.
To the window, to the wall.
You are the only one in this room that picked up on that.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that. I thought he was talking about a window.
and a wall.
Mentioned a wall.
It could have been anything. Right. It could have, you know, if not a Get Low reference, we would have just accepted it for what it was.
Mm-hmm. Now, how old is the song?
Oh, that's only like 2003.
Okay, so it's a 15.
The sweat drip down Red Falls. Oh,
it's a 15-year-old reference.
Yeah, I could sing it, but I don't think I'm allowed to say the words in the chorus.
Oh. Okay, but part of his charm is the antiquity of his references.
Is that how old they are?
Yeah, he's an African American man who played basketball in the early 80s. I mean, there's a
certain, lot of Earth, Wind, and Fire references.
Yeah, there's a certain...
You know, okay. Shalimar.
Shout them
ready for the world.
Dead giveaway. All right.
Throw that out.
There's a certain...
all right.
Well, the youth shall lead them. In game one, Jason Tatum becomes the youngest player ever with a double-double in a playoff debut. And now Jaylen Brown becomes the youngest player ever to score 30-plus points in a playoff game in the Celtics' 120-106 blowout of the Bucks at the TD Garden. Brown was ridiculous. 30 points, 12 of 22 shooting, and 5 of 12 from downtown. And then there was Terry Rozier, who sure as hell isn't playing like a third stringer.
32 seconds to go. Brogdon, pass deflected by Tatum and picked up by Rozier. He'll go the distance and slam it with the right hand.
Bucks keep turning that basketball over. Boy, that is hurting them.
Another double-digit first half in turnovers for Milwaukee. That's 10. And that's how you shoot 64% and find yourself down by 9.
Okay, first of all, do we like the new nickname Scary Terry that everyone's been using? Because I don't. For starters, it doesn't really even rhyme. Terry and Scary aren't quite the same rhyme scheme. But second of all, it's just cheesy. But yeah. I've heard of people call him on that on TV.
Very and, lame. Yeah,
yeah, not
lame.
Very good. But either way, Terry Rozier has notched over 20 points in each of the first two games here in the playoffs. But what has been most impressive is that he's had an astonishing 0 turnovers in 78 postseason minutes. He is the anti-Larkin on this team.
Larkin wasn't bad yesterday.
Well, I think game one more
game
than made
one,
up for the amount
second
of turnovers.
Quarter, he was horrible,
have.
But last night he was fine.
Yeah, but how about that? So no turnovers in his 78 minutes. He has been just absolutely reliable.
So I have a theory that I thought of last night. Is it perhaps true that this team might be better than last year's team? Now, let me tell you why. Is that while they're missing Isaiah Thomas, you have Jaylen Brown, who's playing at a level of an all-star right now.
Clearly better than he was last year. Right. I mean, he's significantly improved, yes.
You have Tatum, who is a solid player. And what have you lost from last year's team?
Well, don't forget, you still got Horford. Horford's still there from last year.
Right, yeah. But you're missing essentially Isaiah Thomas, except for Olynyk, who, you know.
We saw him, right.
He would turn people to stone when he looked at him. But I'm wondering if this team, now the East is much better. I would make that argument, is that the East is a better conference this year.
Is it?
Yeah, 76ers are there.
Yeah, the East is deeper this year.
The East is deeper this year.
But the Cavs were
the Cavs last year. Still,
I wouldn't want to play the Cavs.
Cavs are still decent.
I mean, I'm not saying that they'll go as far as they went last year, but I'm just wondering if this moment right now, despite the loss of Kyrie Irving and Hayward, if at this moment that there are at least as good a team as they were last year.
Well, think about it this way. You have replaced Jay Crowder essentially with Marcus Morris. And Marcus Morris, I like a lot better. I mean, first of all, he's a bit of a bully, which you don't have now that Marcus Smart is sitting on the bench, and he's as close to a Marcus Smart type of bully on the court. On top of that, his shot's much better than Jay Crowder's was last year. I mean, Jay Crowder seemed to lose confidence after he got injured. I was talking with Mike about this in the other room this morning. And on top of that, Marcus Morris, I mean, think about how many big times he's come up just in the last month of the season. The way he's been playing, big shots yesterday, big shots in game one. He's a guy that seems to step up to the occasion, and the playoffs have been very good for him. And then, boy, you're taking away a lot by taking away Isaiah Thomas. I mean, it's a good conversation to have, and I think that the point that, was it Gorman that we had on last week who said, the one thing that's better about this team is that you have a lot more shooting options. There's, like, last year you had Avery Bradley was your second option, and he wasn't even that reliable. Now, outside of, I mean, you're right. You got how many good shooters? Rozier, Jaylen, Tatum, Morris now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Horford, too.
It's an argument you can have. I'm still not convinced. Because he was such a phenomenon last year, Isaiah Thomas. He was so good.
But the
good.
Offense all ran through him.
No, you're right. It's a conversation to have. You might be right.
But I just was watching the game last night, and I said, I wonder if this team might be a little better now. And like I said before, I think the East is a lot deeper, and I don't think they'll go to the Eastern Conference Finals, but nonetheless, might be a little bit better. Go ahead.
It's unquestioned that this team is better than last year. That not only do they have more shooting options, the quality of depth on this roster is far greater than last year. You mentioned the shooting, and Avery Bradley was your other scorer. last year, every other player on the floor needed Isaiah Thomas to get them the ball in their own specific spot to shoot. This year, you have three, four, five different guys that can create their own shot off the dribble. I mean, Marcus Morris is one. Terry Rozier is one. Jalen Brown is one.
So what's your
Brown
expectation
can shoot
then?
Three. Hold on a second. Kyrie Irving obviously can do it. I think if you look at this team, they may not go as far. And just quickly to Fred's point that the East is deeper, and I agree with him, they had two more wins this year than last year against a deeper conference. They may not make the Eastern Conference
but
finals.
But they had Kyrie.
You're right. They may not make the Eastern Conference finals, but I think this roster from top to bottom is far better. And we've said this more often than not, that they're longer at the wing position. Think about all those times last year where Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley had to guard LeBron James.
Yeah.
You have taller guys, longer guys that can get a hand in someone's face when they can shoot when the other team shoots from the perimeter. I mean, Chris Middleton is making shots, but they're contested out there. You don't have Avery Bradley. They have pygmies chasing them around. You got guys that are his size with a hand in the face, and Middleton is just making these shots. I don't think it's even a question that this team is better than last year.
Think about how fun it will be, too, when you get Marcus Smart back, and let's say they do move on to the next round of the playoffs, and it's against the Sixers. Can you imagine the frustration that Joel, just all these guys, the 76ers seem to be a team that's easy to get under their skin, and you get Marcus Smart out there, that's going to be epic.
Yeah.
The sound bites you're going to get out of the locker room in that series, if that, of course, ends up happening, is going to be fantastic. And speaking of sound bites, first of all, Giannis Antetokounmpo was brilliant last night. There's two guys on that team that continue to play unbelievable basketball, Antetokounmpo being one, and I freaking love Chris Middleton.
Else. The best part is there's nobody else.
Chris Middleton.
That could know what I'm. You were going to mention Middleton.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's
nobody else. Yes, you're
and
right.
And then there's really nobody else.
There isn't. I mean, Middleton's one of these guys that just makes shots out of nothing. And when he gets the ball, you're like, well, it's going to go in. It's an expectation that it's going to go in if Middleton's got the ball in his hands. But then there's Eric Bledsoe, who has been abused by Rozier in this series, especially at the end of game one, when he just watched Rozier. He grabbed a snack and just sat back and said, all right, you can take the what could have been the game-winning shot right in front of me. Had it not been for miracles, that would have been the game-winning shot, and that miracle being Chris Middleton, as I just mentioned. So he had to say this about Terry Rozier, who was just wildly outplayed Bledsoe during this series.
Terry Rozier's gotten off a strong start to the series, no turnovers in 78 minutes. How personally do you take that matchup?
Who?
Terry Rozier.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, snap! It's the I don't even know who that is right out of the I can't think of a witty insult playbook.
This is right after Rozier dropped 23 on you.
Right.
He's just going to hit that game when it was supposed to be a game-winning three. Do you really want to piss a guy off that's already eating your lunch as it is?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And Rozier, by the way, was asked about Bledsoe's comment, and he said, I'm concentrated on the Bucks-Boston-Celtics matchup. If he doesn't know who I am, it's all good. Someone asks if he finds it funny. He goes, I don't even think it's funny. He just might be talking out of spite or something. So Rozier, he's keeping the level head in all this. Obviously, Bledsoe is just unbelievably frustrated. But then there's like a nice little battle going on between Marcus Morris, who has been excellent, and Chris Middleton. You know, you kind of saw them jawing at each other a little bit on the court. And here's what Marcus Morris had to say.
Yeah, everything's getting a little to be with you and Chris.
Chris Middleton, I've been competing with Chris since college.
Yeah, I've been competing with Chris since college when we used to beat their ass in Kansas. So very good. Marcus Morris bringing a little bit of the attitude. And the good news is that the Celtics, they're 35-0 when taking home the first two games of a postseason series. Game three, got to wait until Friday. So Friday, sit around. Two more days now. That's the one thing about these playoffs, that you just got to wait so damn long between games.
And one other thing about this series, the coaching matchup is just a horrible mismatch. Joe Prunty, who took over when Jason Kidd was fired as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, for some reason he keeps running Eric Bledsoe out there. Bledsoe's been a streaky player his entire career. His streak is headed the wrong way, and it has for two games. And for some reason, Prunty does not play Malcolm Brogdon.
And he was having a great game.
I mean, he's a really good player. Yeah. He has been since he came in the league. You saw what he could do last year. And for they traded for Bledsoe. I think that was the Monroe deal, by the way. You traded for Bledsoe, and he, for some reason, Prunty keeps running him out there. Brogdon does turn the ball over, but it can't be any worse than what the Bucks are doing already. I mean, I would start Brogdon, play Bledsoe maybe 5 minutes to give Brogdon a rest. Even Jason Terry is a better option at this moment. I mean, Bledsoe is inside his own head. He's headed in the wrong direction. You're down 2-0. Why would you not start Malcolm Brogdon and Jabari Parker, who's supposed to be a big part of this team? Trying to guard Al Horford at the low post is just fabulous for the Celtics. I don't understand why Prunty keeps running those two guys out there.
Real quick, by the way, Scary Terry is apparently a Rick and Morty character, which I have not. Once again, I don't watch Rick and Morty, but that's where it comes from.
No.
So there you go, Rick and Morty.
Ed, go ahead.
Hi, Ed.
From a wind tunnel.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, you know, going back to the ratings thing, I flipped over once you guys mentioned that, just to hear them guys. They're incredible over there. Like you said, the spin that is going on over there, they are, like, running in circles over there trying to figure out reasons of why... You know, they're number one, and you guys are
okay.
Number one.
I can settle this once and for all. The only bonus that Rich and I get is to finish number one with men 25 to 54. Rich and I are getting bonus checks. I've never lied. I don't talk about the ratings. It finally got to me last night, and I was a hypocrite. And I went on Twitter, which was hypocritical.
Fighting with people. The old tea was back. It was fantastic.
I talked about the ratings, which was hypocritical.
They're trying to add a second station to the ratings. We are number one everywhere we're broadcast. That's it. I mean, literally, everywhere we're broadcast, we're number
except
one.
Except for TV, where we're last.
Well, I'm talking about on the radio. I think we lose to infomercials.
All I'll say is this, and then I'll leave it to this.
What do you want?
I can't tell you anything except that we get a bonus for being number one men 25 to 54, and we're getting the bonus. And believe me, if you think a radio station's handing out bonuses with an asterisk, you're wrong. They don't want to give you the bonus, and that's all. We're getting the bonus because we finished number one. And if everyone didn't mention it, that would be fine. I don't know why the audience would care. But I got concerned yesterday that I make money on endorsements and everyone's on stupid social media. I got concerned that maybe someone who we endorse would see that. And when it's not true, it concerned me. And that's all. And that's all. I don't think the audience cares. That's fine. I don't know why, if you enjoy something, if it was one, two, or seven, that you would care. But I just got concerned because of the endorsers. I'm an endorser. For the people that we endorse. And that's all. And that's it. I can't say anything more about it. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Tutcher and Rich.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, it looks like Shohei Ohtani didn't show up last night.
Oh, yeah.
Like, baby. Your young jokes.
High fly ball. Well hit. Deep left. Back. Gone!
I bet you hit a ding dong.
Devers lays into one. The Red Sox for the fifth time tonight.
13-4. There's another one. He smokes it deep. Backing up then. Kiss it goodbye.
Let up a stogie and let it fly.
For Mookie Betts. And the Red Sox are in front 10-1.
Light up a stogie and let it fly?
Yeah, because he goes, he smoked one. So I say, let up a stogie and let it fly.
I get it. Yes. Well, that was 6 Red Sox home runs in 50 seconds, and the guy whose rookie card is allegedly worth thousands only pitched 2 garbage innings against the Red Sox before he got pulled by his manager, I guess so.
Throws a million miles an hour, though, man. Those are really fast. fast.
Yep, and it gets hit out of the park a million miles an hour as well. 10-1, the final score, an absolute beatdown in Anaheim. Ohtani gave up 3 runs on 4 hits and 2 walks while only getting 1 strikeout against Boston's hitters. He threw 66 pitches, and the Red Sox only swung and missed 3 times. Ohtani didn't return to the mound for the third, and then Luke Bard came out and was even worse, vomited all over his shoes. And boy, was it just a massacre. One guy that took advantage of Shohei was Mookie Betts. Here he is afterwards.
You know he throws hard, so I'm just trying to be ready to hit. I don't think he walks a lot of guys, so, you know, just being aggressive and, you know, just trying to, you know, make something happen early in the game.
Okay, who has Ohtani pitched against this season so far?
Oakland.
Okay.
In Oakland.
Oakland and Oakland?
I believe, I believe both starts before this one were against Oakland.
And maybe all of us were jumping to conclusions with the type of competition he was indeed pitching against.
Oakland and Oakland.
Okay.
Those are the two.
All right. Maybe we were all a little quick to crown this guy the next king of baseball. Well, if you're looking to stay up until the sun comes up, the Sox play tonight at 10:07. Are you going to be up for that one, John?
No. No, no playoff games tonight. I'm going to sleep early.
We had a little listen, as much as I want to stay up and see Johnny Gomes break it all down.
He wasn't annoying last night.
No, he wasn't. There was
a, I didn't think he was that bad.
I got emailed a couple of clips, and we'll play one a little bit later on. And once again, I didn't get to watch the entire thing.
I only watched the first 3 innings, so okay. I mean, maybe I missed the good stuff.
So at one point, I guess he's comparing like the size of like a Japanese baseball to an American one.
Okay.
He's breaking it down.
Okay.
And of course, America's always better because that's the Johnny Gomes way.
They have bigger balls.
Sure, of course. They always, the bigger the balls, the better the country. So there you go. 10:07 if you're looking to enjoy yourself. And the most absurd story this year in sports continues.
To the boards, to the corner. Schmidt will try and hold it there. And that's going to do it. As the horn sounds and the Knights have ousted the Kings.
Yeah, it's weird.
And their historic first ever playoff series victory is a clean sweep.
So the Las Vegas Golden Knights, they sweep the LA Kings. They're moving on to round two of the playoffs. And the Golden Knights, first franchise in NHL history to sweep a postseason series in their inaugural season. Two things about that. A, that's just crazy. The fact that this expansion team just is killing and wrecking everyone with all of the cast-offs from every other team in the NHL.
Well, we were in Atlanta when the Thrashers came.
Yep.
And boy, were they good.
Oh, yeah. Right. This doesn't happen.
Like Jeff Hodgers and who was Chicken Parm? Ferraro.
Yeah, Ray Ferraro.
Ray Ferraro. Yeah. I mean, they were awful, and they used the first pick in the draft to get Patrick Stefan, who was horrible.
They had Kovalchuk, right?
Yeah, they that did. Was later. They got
And then Mark Savard.
They got Heatley. Yeah. He wasn't a number one pick. They got Heatley. Savard and who's the goaltender? He plays for Dallas.
Lettinen?
Yeah, Lettinen. And then they got Lettinen. And so they got Savard and they started to be okay.
That isn't necessarily a bad lineup right
now.
No, there.
But their first pick was Patrick Stefan
complete bust, yes.
And yeah, they just had Ray Ferraro was the one guy that they got, and he was like 75 right. at the time.
Well, the two things about that news that came out yesterday is, as I said, it's an unbelievable story, and you can't believe it. The second thing is, how the hell are they done with their series when the Bruins aren't even playing game 3 until tomorrow night?
They started a day early. There's no basketball team in LA. Las Vegas.
Doesn't that kind of give teams an unfair advantage when you can finish that early before a game 3 is even played?
Washington and Columbus just played game 3 last night, but Winnipeg and Minnesota have played 4 games. And the Las Vegas swept the Kings in 4, and all 3 played on the same evening. It's weird.
How are the Bruins not even playing
until
tomorrow?
And 4, it's like 5 in one series and 3 in another day.
The Bruins are the older team. I like that they get an extra day off. I'm fine with that. I enjoy that.
But as a viewer, I don't want to wait.
I don't understand why you need that extra day.
Give me hockey now.
Especially when there's no travel. It's weird. They've been sitting in Toronto since Monday.
They got
it's
a day
weird.
Off to sit. They didn't even skate.
No,
and then they skate
it's
today.
Fine. You're right. The Bruins do have older legs.
However, you finish the first weird. Round early. You get to rest a little bit longer for round 2.
Well, who knows when they're going to finish. So I like that they have the day off.
I was a little pissed because the Capitals game went to overtime again. The Capitals won. I think how funny it would have been if they would have ended up losing again. That would have been perfect, but they ended up winning. winning. So.
All right, Rich, what do we have on the way?
Well, it looks like we got more players speaking out about the culture at Foxborough, and this gentleman happens to come with a captain's badge and a Bunsen burner and a beaker.
Yes, well, there's nothing to see here. Go about your business. We will hear for what A.C. Slater has on the way.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
So down in Foxborough, hasn't been the most pleasant environment over the last couple of months, if you believe all of the things that have been going back and forth via social media, the players that have been talking. Not an easy place to be, especially after the way that things ended for this past season. But Matthew Slater was there, and amongst all the other players. Did you notice there is something kind of funny and that the Patriots have been tweeting out pictures of the players working out, and I guess that a bunch of the tweets have involved not just weights, but a lot of resistance bands.
Uh-oh.
Almost as if we're welcoming.
It's my idea.
Yeah,
here it is.
We're welcoming in some of the theories and beliefs in the TB12 system. All is well in Foxborough, but there's been a lot of talk about this culture and whether or not it is a tough one to buy into. And Phil Perry from NBC Sports Boston, he asked Matt Slater about the whole culture and whether it is indeed tough to buy in.
Can it be difficult to find that buy-in or to be bought in all the time?
Yeah, absolutely. It can be difficult. It is difficult. But it's the National Football League. Football is not an easy game. The demands are high, regardless of whether you're playing here or elsewhere. It's difficult to have success in this league, and the cost, the price that you have to pay to be successful is a steep one.
And Matt Slater's going to be one of the... What's that?
I have to run down the field 7 times a game.
he did, like... There was... You know, I might want to pull this clip a little bit later on. He was asked about kickoff, and there's been a lot of talk about trying to eliminate the kickoff for the NFL, and he, of course, what do you think his opinion was?
I want to work.
Yeah, that's right. I want to have a job.
Yeah.
So, of course, he defended the kickoff very strongly. And Matthew Slater, always good for a soundbite. You know, if he was gone, though, like, who was the last person in that locker room to kind of wave the flag for the Patriot way? Maybe Devin McCourty. He might be the last guy.
He's absolutely he's the guy.
Yeah.
He's been a captain for almost as long as Slater has.
Whereas you've got these guys kind of...
Peaches.
You've got all these guys kind of stepping back a little bit.
Yes.
Cinnamon and gravy.
That's right.
It's like all of a sudden he's the old prospector.
I'm right. The old prospector in your sketch.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, like, he's always been the flag waver for all the, you know, Bill Belichick and the Patriot way. And honestly, now that you've got, you know, Hightower liked that post that Brandon Browner put that was critical of Belichick's decisions during the Super Bowl to sit Malcolm Butler. You've got, you know, Tom Brady at the end of Tom versus Time, which seemed to be strange. And now you've got Gronk with his stupid bands that make a woman dance or whatever the dumb thing he's quoting from some strip club theme.
Man,
you don't like that, Slater.
No.
Yeah, that's the House of Ill Repute. You're not a big fan.
I'm not a fan of boobs.
Okay, all right, Matt Slater. Appreciate that.
Okay.
No, sorry.
But on top, so if they didn't sign him and he wasn't there, there'd literally only be one guy who is a spokesperson for the Patriot way, and that seems to, of course, be Devin McCourty. He's been the guy. So there you go. Congratulations, Matt Slater. It is funny, though, that they did. And you wonder if that's something that they could just do. Is you think that there might be a compromise where Bill Belichick goes, how about we just use a lot of the TB12 method in our regular workouts? We
all
kind of
the
infuse
problems
them in.
Go away. All their
no,
problems. Well, a lot of them do.
No, they don't.
It's about power now.
Unless they bring in Guerrero, they don't end.
That's my point. I mean, if you adapt some of Guerrero's ways, I think you could smooth over a lot of the bumps here.
Yeah, but you would have to bring in Guerrero.
Yes. That inherent in what I'm saying.
Yeah, and Bill Belichick won't do that. And I mean, then, why should he compromise in his opinion to the wants of his players?
Because
he's in charge.
I understand that, but I think we can all agree in this room, it seems like not the game is passing him by, but there's another part of it that he has to assimilate into his coaching style that he hasn't done yet. And if he does that, I think you have a smooth ride. It's an easy fix. Well, it's an easy fix, not for Belichick, who's done it his way for 20 years and has been immensely successful. But this is an obstacle he hasn't come across in a while.
And the training, like the training staff, they'd have a fit.
Of course they would.
So that's the other part of it. It's like,
I know.
You've got these guys who have degrees and they've had a way of doing it. Bill Belichick, you know, trusts in them. And then you bring another guy in. I don't know,
this
man.
Is a problem
this is
the
bad.
Patriots
this
have is... that no other team has to deal with.
And it's so, I don't want to say it's stupid, but it is kind of stupid in the scheme of things. Because you could get everything you need from another trainer. And obviously Tom Brady's earned that type of right to be able to stretch and do whatever he wants on his own with his own guy. But when you've got lesser players, unless they're named Rob Gronkowski bitching about it, then it's like, who cares? Shut up and train the way we tell you to. With Rob Gronkowski, I think he would shut up if you just gave him money. Honestly, if right now there was a decision between bringing back Guerrero or paying him an extra $2 million a year, don't you think he would just go, just give me my cash?
Yeah, probably.
All right, when we come back, there is a John's favorite game, Overwatch, that he loves to talk about in his headlines.
Mm-hmm.
There is some shenanigans going on over there.
Well, it's a strange trend, too, that involves Major League Baseball and the NBA and people's passion for it. This was something kind of shocking that we read the other day. I know you saw the article, too, and it involves the Overwatch League.